Blog Talk Radio.
Let me tell you about something new. A new show called G's Power.
G's Power.
Real talk for real saints.
Are you ready?
And it's for real.
Welcome to G's Power Hour, live every weekday at 11:30 a.m. on Never Had It So Good Entertainment Network. Your host, G, will bring you informative and entertaining guests and a variety of topics in a way that you can absorb and enjoy. Listen in weekdays and call in at 516-387-1944. We love interaction. All shows can be downloaded if you miss one or found on iTunes the next day. G's Power Hour is powered by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network.
G's Power Hour.
Yeah.
Well, good morning, brothers and sisters, kings and queens, angels and saints, ladies and gentlemen. Happy hump day and welcome to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. So, I have just been curious about something that caught my interest several years back, and that was one of the terms, Hollywood East, which was referring to, I guess, the at that time what we thought was to be Florida's emerging film industry. But as the years have progressed, I haven't heard as much about it anymore. And actually heard more about other East Coast states making names for themselves in the film industry. And so I've been kind of curious in terms of what has happened. So I was led to a gentleman by the name of John Lux with Film Florida, who is going to help me answer some questions this morning about that. Good morning, sir. How are you, Mr. Lux?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing quite well. Thank you so much. So please, before we go forward, tell us about Film Florida and tell us about what you do.
Sure. Well, first of all, thanks for having me on. Film Florida is a statewide not-for-profit trade association, and we are a membership-based organization. We have members from Pensacola to Key West, and literally tip to tip in the state and everywhere in between. Our primary function as an organization is marketing. You know, we're a marketing organization by trade, trying to market the state of Florida, the industry itself, our members. We do a fair amount of professional development. We do some education and networking. And then we do, you know, advocacy work up in Tallahassee as well as the local markets to try and, you know, make Florida a more film-friendly state.
Okay, so, I know we have the, I guess you could say, the regular players in the film industry, some of them here in Florida, and you catch a glimpse when you go to the movies, Disney, Universal, and then also we hear about Full Sail in terms of things that they are doing there. But there's just really not the buzz that I was accustomed to hearing at one point in time. And, you know, our neighbor to the north, I watch TV, I see films, and I see the peach, if you know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I won't sing the dingle. But so how did they, for lack of, I guess, a better, how do they steal our business? What's going on? I also understand that another one of our Gulf states is also becoming a major player. So can you talk a little bit about the film industry of the East and where Florida stands in that?
Well, sure. So about 15 years ago, Florida was ranked number 3 in the country for film and television production work behind California and New York. And where we have lost significant ground is that there is great competition for the work. When a film or television series comes to a location, an average film or television series will spend about $20 million in that location in a relatively short period of time. You're talking anywhere from 3 to 6 months. So you do the quick math, that adds up anywhere from $100,000 to $150,000 a day that they are spending in a location, primarily on local businesses, residents that work in the industry. And so there's great competition. And over the last 15 years or so, Florida has fallen by the wayside. Where I mentioned we used to be number three, we're not even considered in rankings right now for major film and television because we do not have a program that attracts those businesses and those projects here to the state, typically referred to as a film incentive. We're the only state in the Southeast that does not have a program like that, and we're one of only 17 states in the entire country that doesn't have a program. And so when we're talking to content creators, whether that be from Europe or Canada or California, South America, or even here locally within the state of Florida, we are at a major competitive disadvantage. So the analogy that I use is if you're driving down the street with your family and you say, hey, let's go out to dinner. Okay. And there's two restaurants, one on the left side, one on the right side. And you like them both. And somebody pulls out their phone and says, hey, I got a 20% off coupon for this restaurant on the right side of the street. More times than not, you're going to go to that one on the right side of the street. That doesn't mean you'll never go to the one on the left side because maybe sometimes they just have something that you really want that day. But by and large, you're going to go where you get the best value for your dollar. And that is the case with our industry right now. When someone looks to come to Florida versus Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, Texas, the Carolinas, they look at their budgets and they say, okay, well, when I go to Florida, the cost is what it is. When I go to these other states, I can get anywhere from 15 to 30% tax credit, rebate, whatever the program may be in some of these other states, which makes it very difficult for us to compete because they are getting more value for their dollar in those other states. And so we're trying to change that, but it definitely is an uphill battle.
How much has our tourism industry made it cost prohibitive for the film industry to make inroads here?
Well, I don't think it's been prohibitive at all. We love the tourism industry. We work well with them. There's a phrase in our industry called film-induced tourism. And what that is the result of people seeing something on film and television and attracting them to go visit there. The great example, we have numerous examples here in the state of Florida, just real fast, a couple of them, Dolphin Tail at the Clearwater Marine Aquarium. Prior to Dolphin Tail being released about a decade ago, they were averaging less than 200,000 visitors a year at the Clearwater Marine Aquarium. Since the films have come out, they are consistently at or above 750,000 visitors per year. They've added 11,000 permanent jobs in the Clearwater area. The aquarium just finished a massive addition and renovation to the facility based on the additional revenues that are generated. So that's a huge example. Another one is down in the Florida Keys. The Netflix series Bloodline was down there. After the first season, the Monroe County Tourism Council did a study that found they generated more than $65 million worth of incremental additional revenue from tourists who visited the Keys solely because they saw Bloodline on Netflix. You go all the way back to the 1980s and you think about what the television show Miami Vice did to the image of South Florida. It completely changed, the way people think of Miami and South Florida. And so, there's been numerous studies. There's a worldwide study that showed about 20% of worldwide travelers, visit places based on something they see on film and television. And then, here within the state, Visit Florida did a study a number of years back that showed almost 23% of domestic visitors that came to the state attributed their visit to Florida to something they saw on film and television. So we work really well with the tourism industry. We believe that we can add more heads and beds by putting Florida on the big, small, and even mobile screens these days. And, you know, so it's something that we are proud to show off the state of Florida when we can on film and television. And we think we have a lot to offer the tourism industry, which is important because it is the number one industry here within our state.
Okay, so this leads me to something else that's been gnawing at me. Because you talk about what people look at on film and TV and the variety of screens that showcase Florida. However, there are movies that, and I'm not talking about this Florida, but because I'm in Florida, I am talking about Florida. There are movies that say, you know, the setting is in Orlando, but it's not actually filmed in Orlando.
Yes.
I mean, I think one of the movies that my husband and I went to see, and you can tell me whether or not it was in Orlando or not, because I didn't think so. Although I find because of the growth in our area, I have to go downtown every now and then just to recognize my city. And that's the primary reason, because I need, you know, someone says they went to Orlando and they went here, and I'm like, I didn't know that was there, you know, so that makes me kind of look a little silly. So I go downtown and some other places just to get to know my city again because there has been so much growth. But anyway, the movie that my husband and I went to see was Geostorm. And I don't know if you're familiar with Geostorm, but there's a chase scene in Geostorm. It features Gerard Butler. And there's a chase scene towards the end along, and I want to say I-4, I don't know, but I'm like, our traffic is so congested, I don't see how it's possible that there could have been any kind of chase scene for that long of a period of time in this city. So tell me, I think Greenland was another recent movie, and I think that was based on Orlando. But can you talk to me about why films, I mean, this is a generic question, but why films that are supposed to be about certain places are sometimes based elsewhere?
It goes back to our original point. It's about money. It's a business. And it is the worst thing that we, you know, have to deal with in our industry right now is seeing Florida stories and Florida scenes being filmed not in Florida. You know, and you know, referencing, you know, Geostorm, I actually just looked it up as you were talking, and Florida is not listed as a location for that film. Now, I may be mistaken. I obviously can't keep up on every single film that's out there, but I do not believe it was filmed in Florida. And that happens
a lot. I
don't think
so either.
I mean, right.
You
and,
know,
and
but
that,
one of
it
the
is,
major
it is
scenes,
all,
one of the major
yeah.
scenes is about, I think, the president coming to Florida for some conference, and there's a chase scene. And I'm like, that's not Orlando.
Well, I mean, the most recent, there are a couple of recent examples that are just heartbreaking for us. When you think of the series Bad Boys with Will Smith and Martin Lawrence, it is a iconic Florida franchise. The most recent Bad Boys film filmed in South Florida for about 10 days. They spent about $8 million, which obviously we're thrilled to have and happy to have it. But the majority of the film was shot in Atlanta, and they spent more than $50 million in the Atlanta economy because it makes more sense for them from a value proposition to film there. Another one that came out, you know, just recently to a lot of acclaim was One Night in Miami about Muhammad Ali. Very, very, very little of it was actually filmed in South Florida. It was all filmed elsewhere. You know, and we, I mean, we could go on forever with a lot of these different projects. There, you know, there, you even mentioned a couple. There was one a television series called On Becoming God in Central Florida, and it was with Kirsten Dunst, and it was, it was a Netflix or a Hulu. I don't remember exactly which one, but it was filmed in Louisiana, and it literally had Central Florida in the title. And then right now, you know, this is one where we're all just kind of banging our heads against the wall. There's a new Netflix series called Florida Man, which is being filmed in North Carolina.
Yeah, and I heard about that.
I think that's
the straw for me right there. And it's like, what? And I love the Carolinas, and I love Florida, but, you know, I mean, put the Florida Man in Florida.
Yeah. Well, it is all, I mean, we have a map that shows all the different states that have different programs, and they're all color-coded. You know, red means one thing, green means another, yellow means another. And here's Florida at the southeast corner of the United States with no color on the map. And that means we're the only state down here without a program. And so even projects that are set in Florida and include Florida, we are losing out. So here's the thing, is that there's one side of the conversation where someone would say, well, look, you know, we just mentioned all these names that give Florida free publicity, and we don't need to have an incentive program to attract them because we're getting the notoriety anyway. What you're missing the point, though, is that went to those people that would say that, is that you are getting the name recognition. But that film or television series probably spent at least $20 million that would have gone directly in the pockets of the local community. You know, people that work in the industry, local businesses, you know, that's the type of economic impact that can really help a community. And so it isn't just about the name recognition. It's about growing high-wage jobs. The average annual wage for our industry is over $89,000 a year. So when we hear a lot of talk about Florida needing more high-wage, high-tech jobs, we're jumping up and down here as an industry saying, look at us, you know, $90,000 a year jobs. You know, we need more of those. We need to stop pushing those to Georgia and Louisiana and Texas and North Carolina. We need more of those here. There are 50,000 Floridians that work in the industry here in the state of Florida. Well, it's simple supply and demand. If there's not enough work here for those workers, they are leaving their families, going elsewhere to work for 3, 4, 5 months at a time, leaving their spouse and their children, spending money in another economy. When somebody goes up to Georgia to work on a film project, they have to spend money in Georgia's economy for housing. They have to buy food or groceries. They have to rent a vehicle if they didn't drive up there themselves. You know, all of these type of things that we're losing here in the state of Florida, and we're giving to other states. So it is excruciating every time we see, you know, these Florida-based or Florida-set projects in other states. And we're continuing to work with the legislature to try and, you know, stop the bleeding, so to speak, and keep some of these projects here, because Florida is home to some of the best colleges and universities in the country when it comes to our industry. You talk about Florida State University has one of the best film programs. You mentioned Full Sail, which is tremendous, Ringling College of Art and Design, UCF. There are a lot of colleges and universities, more than 30 of them actually, that have film and digital media degree programs. Well, if there's not enough jobs for those students when they graduate, they're leaving. And so we are investing in their education right now to make them the next generation of filmmakers, but they're going elsewhere. So we are currently investing in Georgia's workforce, essentially, because people are graduating and they go where the jobs are. And right now we don't have enough of them here to sustain that level of academics here.
Okay, so I have an unsettling question I need to ask you after the break. We're here with John Lux, who is with Film Florida. This is G's Power Hour. I've never had it so good entertainment. If you have questions, the number is 516-387-1944. G's Power Hour. I've never had it so good entertainment. We'll be right back.
Over the past 60 years, Dove Beauty Bar's superior formula has remained unchanged. But when it comes to beauty, everything changed. Together, we redefined beauty. We said no to stereotypes and yes to every type. We let go of judgments and embraced what makes us unique. We're proud to have been there with you, caring for you every step of the way. Here's to the next 60 years.
Having a wedding, reception, family reunion, planning a banquet, or some other fundraising event. Need to share your knowledge through a workshop or seminar, or it's a difficult time and you need to plan a wake or repast. Let us help. At our gatherings, let us reduce the stress and make the occasion memorable, treasured. Call our gatherings at 407-968-9387 or email ourgatherings@yahoo.com. Let us help plan your special event.
Good morning. Welcome back to G's Power Hour. I've never had it so good entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. We are here with John Lux of Film Florida. And if you have questions, the number is 516-387-1944. And so I heard recently, and I need you to confirm it, and I really need you to kind of figure out how what we can do about it. I heard that our state is kind of home to a sector of the film industry that is a little bit, I would say, degrading, and that's the porn industry. Is that true? Are we making, like, big inroads in that industry? And what do we do about that? And how can we make a better name for ourselves, I guess?
Well, that's a good question. Thankfully, our organization has absolutely nothing to do with that industry. We do not associate with them. We do not work with them. They are completely on an island here in the state of Florida, and there are a variety of regulations that they need to follow. I'm told, since I'm not engaged and involved with them at all. And so, you know, from our perspective, you know, I mean, there are ways that we can combat that, you know, image. And the image is to put out the type of content that we want here in the state of Florida. And I an old boss of mine was famous for saying that if you're not telling your own story, then somebody else is out there telling it wrong. And right now, we're not actively telling the Florida stories that we want to be told because those stories are being told elsewhere in other states. That part of the industry that you mentioned, you know, we're not associated with them at all. And so, you know, if that's a story that people are hearing about, then we need to do a better job of telling the right stories that we want to be known in Florida. And so that's why, you know, in some of the legislation that we're trying to get through, we actually have clauses in there that give additional bonuses for family-friendly content because those are the stories that the legislature wants us to tell here in Florida. And so that's really where our focus is telling the positive stories that, you know, can come from content being created in Florida.
Okay. So you have mentioned a couple of times the legislature. What
Yep.
are they doing? How can we generate more motivation for them to get involved and assist us in building this industry in Florida the right way?
Absolutely. Yeah, so there are pieces of legislation that have been filed in advance of the 2022 legislative session. The first piece of legislation is House Bill, or HB 217, and that was filed by Representative Dana Trabolsi, who is from the Fort Pierce area. The second piece of legislation, kind of the matching piece of legislation, has yet to be filed, but it's about to, and that is actually being filed by Senator Joe Gruters from Sarasota. And those pieces of legislation would enact a program that would make Florida much more competitive on the international stage to attract the business. If people want to get engaged in you know, trying to encourage our legislators, my suggestion is if you go to our website, which is filmflorida.org, and then you scroll to the bottom and find our general email address, which is info@filmflorida.org. If people shoot me an email address and let me know their home address, I will get them the contact information for their state representative and their state senator, and they can reach out to them and encourage them to support this legislation. We have very good support in Tallahassee by the numbers. Unfortunately, though, we do not have strong enough support within the Florida House leadership. That's, you know, where we kind of gotten stonewalled the last couple of years in trying to get legislation. We have tremendous bill sponsors. We have great co-sponsors. We just can't get through House leadership. And so we need all the support we can get, whether you work in the industry or you don't. If you want more film and television projects here in the state, reach out to us and we can kind of point you in the right direction to send some emails, maybe even some phone calls, and encourage the legislature to support these pieces of legislation. They're very Florida-centric. They're very fiscally conservative to make sure there is a really good return on investment for taxpayers. And it would, you know, help put us back on the map, you know, both figuratively and literally in terms of our industry and attracting the large budget film and television projects.
Okay, so now there are other players, in my opinion, that could be more involved. We have, you know, well-known actors and actresses from Florida.
Yep.
I was looking, at a list, and a lot of names I didn't recognize, but there were some, including Angela Bassett, which I already knew. Megan Fox, I was not aware that had Florida ties. The Rock is another person,
mm-hmm.
Dwayne Johnson. John Cena is another one. And I know there's
mm-hmm.
there's countless more that current ones. I mean, I knew of some other ones too. I'm not going to name that because I'm not really sure about it. I'll have to go back and look. But there were some older actors and actresses as well. I guess Burt Reynolds was one back in his
yeah.
day that had Florida ties, and I don't think he hid that, you know, from anyone.
Right.
So
right.
So how can we get those people who have made names for themselves that have those Florida ties, how can we get them maybe more involved in terms of campaigning for more film dollars to be spent in Florida?
Well, first and foremost, Burt Reynolds was an icon and an absolute treasure for the industry as a whole, as well as his support within for our industry here in the state of Florida. We had actually, our organization had given him an award, a Legends Award, back a few years before he passed away. And he was a tremendous advocate and a tremendous spokesperson for what we're trying to do. And so your point is 100% accurate that if we could get a little bit more support from some well-known people, that would certainly go a long way. So the challenge is, and you know, we've made some attempts at a variety of different people. A lot of it is scheduling, you know, trying to get them to an event or something like that is challenging with their schedule. But the other part is some of them are a bit apprehensive to really get involved and engaged because they have to stay a little bit more neutral in terms of, you know, where they kind of put their muscle. For example, you know, if there was an actor, an actress, or even a producer or writer that, you know, got too involved and too engaged in advocating here in the state of Florida, would that alienate them when they go back to Georgia to do work or to Louisiana or to California? And so some of that has to do with that. They stayed a little bit more neutral. But by all means, if anybody has direct contacts to any of those people that may be influential, please pass them along to me because We certainly would love to have as many of those in our corner as possible. And I mean, just as a good example, we're going to be going up to Tallahassee for our kind of annual, you know, kind of meetings up there with legislators in the next couple of weeks. And we're doing a little reception, and we have one special guest that's going to be with us. But there were three others that were very interested, and their schedules just didn't work because they were out of town on projects. And so a lot of times those things come up as well. It's just kind of, you know, life gets in the way of some of the best intentions. But we definitely could use some extra muscle in our corner. There's no doubt about it.
For sure. We're going to take a quick break. We are here with John Lux of Film Florida. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. If you have questions, the number is 516-387-1944. G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. We'll be right back.
This is Douglas Dobbs of Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service. We have served the Central Florida community for 29 years with quality funeral and cremation services. Honoring all religions and faiths, we have been here for many grieving families. Whether it's a complete funeral service with a burial or a simple, dignified cremation, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service is here for you. Located at 430 North Kirkman Road at the 408 Expressway, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service, 407-578-7720. Dobbs, dedicated to serving our families.
Hi, I'm Tim Garris. You may know me as Timmy G. Yeah, I know. It's been two decades, but I want you to know I'm back in the art with you. And I've got a mix of music that can help you relax and chill out. It's smooth. It's relaxing. It's chill out jazz. The soulful mix of smooth jazz, soul, and smooth R&B. So join me every Wednesday night, 10 p.m. to midnight, on K-Ham Radio.
Are you chillin'?
Good afternoon. Welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. Here with Mr. John Lux of Film Florida. And if you have questions, the number is 516-387-1944. So what about the big studios that we do have here, the big players, Disney and Universal? Have you been engaged in any type of conversations with representatives from them about encouraging more film activity here in Florida, particularly in Central Florida?
Yeah, absolutely. Universal is a longtime member of our organization. While Disney isn't technically a member of our organization, we have a good relationship with them. We also have good relationships with Univision, EA, you know, some of the other bigger players that are here in the state. They're very supportive. I think, you know, when you look at both Universal and Disney from a Florida perspective, of course the Florida people want more production here in the state. There's no doubt about it. But those corporations are national and even international. And so a lot of the decisions in terms of where to film and where to set up shop are made at a higher corporate level. And right now, Disney does a lot of business in Georgia, you know, because it makes more financial sense. And so you know, so does Universal and so do all the studios. You know, you look at Netflix, you look at Hulu, you look at all the different streaming services that are out there these days that are creating original content. They all would love to film more in Florida. There's no doubt about it. But they also need to look out for their bottom line. And so that's why, unfortunately, they, for the larger budgets, they end up in other states. You know, Florida is right now, we have a very strong commercial market. We have a very strong independent film market. And so we kind of know that's our wheelhouse. But those bigger studios, those budgets are, you know, 20 to 50 million in a lot of cases. And so they need to look out where the best budget is. And so while they would like to be in Florida, they've made that very well known. You know, right now they're going to unfortunately have to go where they get the best value for their dollar, which is not in Florida.
And I understand that. That makes sense. But you would think that those would be the ones that could spend the money here, and then the independents who, you know, might struggle a little bit more, you would think that they wouldn't base a film here, you know, although we're glad that they do. What about government incentives, any type of tax credits, any type of, incentives from the restaurant and hospitality industries in terms of, a certain type of rate or something or discount in order to bring their business here? Because when you talk about film crews, it's not just the actors. It's a variety of people. We know that because if you do happen to stay, for the credits, which most of the time is usually for a Marvel movie or something, but if you do happen to stay for the credits, you see the tremendous amount of people that are involved, and usually from more than one location. So even if it's not just the whole film made here, it looks like there could be some incentive to film a portion of a film here, knowing that, there are multiple sites for some of these movies.
Right. So you touched on a couple things there. The tax credits or rebates, that is exactly what we are working with the state legislature to try and get those reinstated. Florida did have a program for a number of years from about 2005 to 2016. There were a variety of programs, and the legislature did away with them in 2016, and we have not been able to get them to renew them. And there's a couple different reasons why they chose to not renew them. But this is a new day, and we're working forward. In terms of how do we compete, what I always tell people is, look, we're an industry with or without incentives right now. We need to exist with or without incentives. We need to grow with or without incentives. I mean, we can't just all sit back and say, well, we don't have a statewide program, and therefore, we fold up our tents and go away. No, I mean, this is our industry. This is where people have decided to live, and this is where we're trying to make a living. And so we need to do the best we can with what we have. And our biggest selling point is our locations and our crew base, which is tremendous. The history of Florida in the industry is tremendous. And the service we provide, that we're big on providing great service when projects do come to Florida. And because you can't really put a dollar amount on good service. And so we have tremendous support from the people within the community. So for an example, when a television series like David Makes Man decides to come to Florida, and they've done two seasons here in Central Florida based out of Universal Studios, the reason that works is because of the relationship that the studio has with Universal Studios to provide good rates at the sound stages and within the hotel, the hotels there. It has to do with the producer having good relationships with the crew base here in Central Florida and being able to make that work. And so there's a lot of people that work really hard to get those here. You had mentioned, actors on screen. For every one actor you see on screen, there's usually 20 to 50 people behind the screen that are part of the crew. And, crew jobs consist of cameramen and women, audio technicians, lighting technicians. There's always electricians involved. There's script supervisors. There's writers. There's producers. But then there's that ancillary layer of people that work within our industry that sometimes people forget. You mentioned the hotels and restaurants that people go to when they're here as part of a production. There's dry cleaners. There's the Home Depot and the Lowe's and the other hardware stores. They're building sets with lumber that they bought from somewhere. There's carpenters. There's painters. There's HVAC technicians that are involved. And, so there's a lot of ancillary jobs that are involved in our industry. That is all part of kind of the ecosystem. It's a spidering effect when a project comes, because there are so many different, people that are involved in. And we like to refer to our industry as kind of an anchor industry. And so you may see like the film and television production industry here kind of in the middle of it. But when you get all those tentacles that go out from it, there's a lot of different benefits that come. And so, you know,
right.
we know we struggle to get the big budget films, but we're working on those, you know, kind of zero to $5 million budgets as much as we can, and hopefully we grow from there.
Yeah, I mean, on a selfish note, I even was considering one time doing a business based on what I had perceived at the time to be a growing film industry here. I'm in real estate, and I was like, well, you know,
mm-hmm.
what about renting out houses for set locations
yes.
or for people that need to stay during the duration of a shooting, you know? And,
yes.
and then, like I said,
real estate,
things seem to kind of flatten out.
Yeah, real estate is a major, major beneficiary of our industry in a couple of different things. You mentioned locations for filming. That's a huge part of the industry, and people make good money doing it. Then there's the rental of houses. You know, if somebody's going to be in Florida for 3 months, they don't want to stay at a hotel the entire time. They're going to rent a house, and so the real estate is there. And then the third thing is when we are continuing to put Florida on the big and small screen for people to see, that attracts more people to our state. They want to come here on vacation. They want to come here to live here, which means the real estate market continues to thrive. And so real estate is actually a big beneficiary of our industry when things are going well.
Okay, well, that's good to know. So what can the community do? Because like you say, you know, these films, benefit the people that are directly involved, but they do have great residual effects for small business. But before I get to that, there is one other thing I wanted to ask, one of the
mm-hmm.
obvious questions. COVID. How
yes.
did or has the pandemic impacted our film industry here?
Well, at first, you know, it's gone in stages. At first, it was very difficult. Like everything else, the industry was essentially shut down for a while. Early on in the pandemic, our organization kind of took the lead and put out a list of recommendations. You know, we're not a mandating body. We have no legal authority over anything, but we put out a list of recommendations on things for sets. To keep people safe and healthy, and that has been widely used throughout the state. Beyond that, productions have, by and large, been very cognizant of keeping people safe and healthy. If somebody comes down with a positive test, you know, that can shut down an entire set, which means it's a lot of money lost for a lot of people. And so people take it very seriously. You know, early on in the summer of 2020, you know, Florida hosted the NBA, the WNBA, some soccer as well. And so we looked at that and said, look, if you're doing live sports production in that time, it certainly makes sense that you can do, you know, film and television production as well. And so there have been a lot of changes within the industry in terms of keeping people masked and you know, shields and those type of things. A lot of you know, they refer to them as pods within a production set, where people had to stay within their pods, so there wasn't just mass gathering of people on set. Bringing in extras has changed. There's not as many extras on sets, just to kind of keep the volume of people down a little bit, but. You know, fast forward now, you know, again, we're getting into commercial season here in Florida, where the weather gets cooler up north, and people want to come down here to start filming their spring campaigns. And so things are picking up from a commercial standpoint. I think, you know, our industry by and large is kind of polices itself in terms of health and safety. And so the industry has taken it very serious to keep people healthy on set. And so there's like I said, there's a lot of masks, there's a lot of hand sanitizer, there's a lot of hand washing station, there's a lot of distancing. And you know, because we want to keep people working as much as we possibly can.
We are here with John Lux of Film Florida, talking about our state's film industry and also our local film industry and what's happened to it and what the future is. So we're going to take a quick break. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment, and we will be right back.
Hi, I'm Jim Garrison, and I think I found a way to help you understand what is Chill Out Jazz.
Some of y'all may be confused because of the style we choose. We make jazz and R&B. We don't categorize. We just want to sound good. Is it jazz?
It is what it is.
Is it R&B?
Tune in every Wednesday night at 10 on K-Ham Radio.
This is Douglas Dobbs, owner and funeral director at Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service. We have served the Central Florida community with two generations of family funeral service. With the recent addition of my son Brandon, we are here to take care of the needs of Central and West Orlando. From simple cremation to a full burial, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service is here to help you. Located at 430 North Kirkman Road at the 408 Expressway, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service, 407-578-7720. Dobbs, dedicated to serving our families.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. And we are here with John Lux of Film Florida. And the number, if you have questions for John or you have a comment or something, the number is 516-387-1944. So I do have to ask you if you have any comment or observation about the most, not necessarily our area, but the most recent film controversy on the set of Rust with Alec Baldwin. Can you give us any type of insight or clarity on that?
Yeah, so obviously a horrible tragedy. You know, it as much attention as it has gotten, rightfully so, those type of accidents are very few and far between. The last major one to get that level of attention for you know, that level of accident was a worker that was unfortunately killed on a film set, but you know, close to a decade ago, and so they are few and far between. That doesn't make them any better. I think this is a case where the process failed. There are a number of you know, checks and balances in place to make sure these things don't happen on a set. That weapon went through a couple of different hands before it ever got to Alec Baldwin, and people in that line did not do what they were supposed to, and unfortunately, there a life was lost, someone else was injured, and there are going to be ramifications for those that didn't do their job, and they're going to be held accountable, and. You know, that it doesn't bring anything back, but I think the important thing going forward is to learn from it and to hold those that don't do what they're supposed to accountable, and hopefully we can move forward and not have those type of things in the future.
Thank you. And speaking of going forward, by the way, how do we go forward with improving our film industry here in Florida? How can someone like me, how can average Joe and Josephine get on board with promoting Florida as the state to be? Because whatever films, like I said, that we bring here, and like you said, you know, there are residual impacts for other people and other businesses here in the state.
Right. So a great question. Obviously, if I had the magic answer to all of that, you know, we probably wouldn't be having this conversation. But there are a couple of different things. First and foremost, I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't encourage people to join our organization. We're a membership-based organization, and we're funded entirely through our members. And so if people are interested in joining the organization and joining our effort, they don't have to be an industry professional. We have plenty of people that just support what we're trying to accomplish. can go to filmflorida.org and look at the different membership levels. We have both individual and corporate levels. Beyond that, as I mentioned, you know, we would love to have additional support of people reaching out to their legislators and encouraging them to support. And I'm the cheat sheet on that. You know, you don't have to do a lot of the legwork. You don't have to do the research. If people just reach out to me with the website or the email on our website, I can point them in the right direction and make sure they have the information to reach out appropriately. And then when a project does come to an area, support it. You know, that's kind of the biggest thing. We want people when they come here to have a pleasant experience and want to come back. And that is not just the people that they are working with on set. If they have a pleasant experience, you know, at a Publix, at a restaurant, at a hotel, on the street, the more pleasant experiences people have when they're in Florida filming, the more they're going to want to come back. And you know, that's what we really focus on is, you know, the things that we do control. We obviously work as hard as we possibly can to get the legislature where we want it to be. But in the meantime, you know, we focus on what we do have, and services are our number one selling point. That's what we want to focus on as best as we can.
And for those that may be interested in making inroads into the industry, either in front or behind the camera, do you have a starting point that you suggest they, you know, take up?
Well, that, I mean, I really would encourage people then to join the organization, because we have a number of different avenues that they can go. First and foremost, well, whether they're a member or not, I mean, people can subscribe to our podcast, which is on Google and Apple, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio. There's just so much information. We're on season 4 of the podcast. We've done more than 80 episodes now. So you can find a topic that is interesting there. We do monthly seminars virtually called Film Florida Fridays. Once a month, we have a different topic and have different panelists come in and talk on Zoom. And I interview them, and then the last half of the event is a guest audience participation and questions, and so people can learn a lot from that. And then once people are members of the organization, we have different committees and councils that focus on different parts of the industry from a certain perspective, whether it be, you know, we have a legislative committee, we have a marketing committee, we have different councils within the industry for if you're a film commissioner or if you're an industry professional. And if people want to get involved in the industry, that industry and association council is really beneficial to them, because there's people from all walks of the industry, all different experience levels, both in front of the camera and behind the camera. And then the other thing that's most important is the networking that's available. If someone wants to get involved in something specific, the best way to do it is to learn from someone who's already doing it. And so whether it's acting classes with some people that are already members, whether you want to be a cameraman or an audio technician, all of those people are members of our organization, and everybody's interested in helping each other. So if you are interested in something, people join all the time and say, hey, this is kind of my goals, this is what I want to do, and we set them up with some mentors and some contacts and help them along the way. I always tell people there's no reason to reinvent the wheel, and so our organization kind of gives people a head start into getting to where they want to be within their career.
And one of the reasons I asked was because I know there's probably some apprehension, because there's this thought that you have to be a member of a particular organization, or you have to be a member of the guild, or you know, a member of a union or something like that in order to participate. And so there's a little hesitation, but you're saying that, you know, it's easy basically to at least make some inroads with your organization. So that's good to know.
Yeah, I mean, there are definitely some unions that are part of our organization, so if people are interested in going that route as well, we certainly make those introductions and get them where they need to be. The hardest thing right now is expectations. You know, people, whether it's a graduate from one of the great colleges or universities, or someone that is just interested, everybody has a screenplay, everybody has a script, everybody thinks they're the best cameraman ever. There's a process to getting involved in the industry, and it takes a little bit of time. And as we've talked about, there are some challenges. I mean, there aren't thousands and thousands and thousands of open jobs here in the state of Florida. So, you know, it is a bit challenging to get your foot in the door, and that's why, you know, we encourage people to join the organization and get involved that way, because you're not on an island that way. You're working with like-minded people that are all in it for the same goal.
And then, so what is your contact information again? So for people that want to get involved, or in either by support or by being in the trenches, how can they do that?
The best way to track us down is our website, which is filmflorida.org, or we have very active pages on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Instagram. And my contact information is on the website, both an email address and a phone number at the bottom. I mentioned we have the podcast. I mentioned the Film Florida Friday. We're in a lot of different areas and just trying to be out there as much as we can and help those that work in the industry and those that support us.
Okay. And then again, tell us about 217 so that we can kind of look out for that and encourage our legislators to support it. Can you talk a little bit about that again just really quick?
Sure. Yeah. So HB 217 from Representative Dana Trabolsi, who's from Fort Pierce, and then the matching bill will be from Senator Joe Gruters. It is yet to be released. They are performance-based programs, so you know, no rebate or tax credit is awarded until projects are completed and audited. So there's a lot of checks and balances. They require a certain level of spending within the state of Florida. They require a minimum amount of hiring of Florida residents. So it's very Florida-centric, very fiscally conservative to make sure that we're able to compete, but also get a great return on investment.
Mr. John Lux, thank you for taking the time to just give us a little bit more insight and clarity, and hopefully this reaches the right ears and we can get some people motivated in terms of getting the industry back on track here in Florida. I really appreciate you sharing the time. Thank you.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you for having me on.
Later this week, well, Friday, don't forget we have our economist, Paul V. Shelton of Warwick Shore, to talk about the latest with our nation and local economy, so don't forget to join us then. Thank you for being with us. This has been G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. By the way, I did find a little information on 217, so I did post that along with FilmFlorida.org. I did post those links on the G's Power Hour Facebook page, so make sure you check them out. And again, thank you for listening. Be well, be safe, be blessed, and please remember, all real power comes from God. Take care.
37 and above, you old school. Just keep that baseline going. Hey, open your mouth.